Good morning, West Valley.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and for bringing us together this morning to praise and to worship you. You are holy, Lord, and we are so grateful for your faithfulness and for your steadfast love for us. You are an awesome God, and we continually marvel at your creation and at your power. Thank you, God, for loving us and for all the blessings you give to us. Thank you for the changing seasons. We love our summers here in California, but we also love fall and all the new beginnings at this time of the year. You are an amazing creator, God, and you know that each season of the year brings us beauty and brings us joy in so many different ways. We are grateful for this community we live in, for our families, friends, homes, and jobs. We thank you for this church family, Lord, and for all the different ministries, events, and activities that are designed to bring us closer to you and to each other. We confess, Father, that we are not always the people you would have us be. Oftentimes, we fall short of your expectations. We ask that you forgive us for all the ways we have hurt those we love and those we interact with on a daily basis. Forgive us everything we have taken for granted. Help us to be better stewards of the love you have shown us and of all that you have given to us. This morning, Lord, we lift up to you many people and concerns here at West Valley. We offer praise and thanksgiving for Bob Schultz and his continued recovery and his renewed strength. It's so great seeing him back in the choir this morning, Lord. We also praise you for the 20 junior high students who have been participating in the Crash Zone, our after-school program that has grown significantly over the past year. We are thrilled with the success of this program, and we thank you for the commitment of the staff to make it work. We ask your blessing on next week's service worship activities. We are so excited to be joining forces with Good Samaritan Methodist Church as we go out into the community once again to show your love through our work projects. Bless our efforts. We ask your blessings this morning on the Luciani family, Father, as they mourn the loss of Jean's father. Bring them comfort in knowing that he is at peace and with you. Thank you so much for Pastor Kim and the staff here at West Valley and for their continued faithfulness and commitment to the congregation here. And speaking of staff, Father, you know that our search is continuing for a new music and worship director. We know that you have that special someone in mind for us, and we think that we've been pretty faithful and patient as we look for this person. We ask that you bless us by showing us who this person is. Our music ministry here at West Valley is such an important part of our church life, and although we are very grateful and blessed by the talents and leadership of Lane and Kelly, we are excited about the growth and possibilities a new director will bring. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that Ryan has this morning to speak to this congregation about his summer ministry in East Asia, and I ask that you bless him and his message. Now, Father, knowing that you hear all of our prayers, we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture this morning is taken from the book of Philippians, the book that we're studying together as a congregation. Philippians chapter 1, 27 to 211. Hear the word of God. This is Paul writing. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had and now hear that I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is God's holy word. Today I'm not giving the message. You're going to hear from Ryan Eshoff. If you were here last Sunday, you might be thinking, that's the scripture we read last Sunday. And I told you about the biblical history, a little bit about that passage. Now you're going to hear from Ryan, who spent 6 weeks in China over the summer, his experiences on the mission field there. You're in for a big treat. Believe me, this is going to inspire the socks off of you. I just know it. So I invite you to listen to Ryan now as he shares with you. Come on up, Ryan.
Good morning. Yeah, it's an honor to be in front of you guys. Like Kim said, my name is Ryan. I grew up in this church. My mom gave the prayer this morning. My sister directed the choir this morning. My brother-in-law sang last week. I felt left out, so I talked Kim into letting me do the sermon today. Before I go into more details about the summer, I do just want to thank all of you for your support. I know a lot of you supported me financially, prayerfully this summer. Couldn't have happened without you. I know a lot of you were involved in consoling my mom all summer, so I thank you for that also. I also want to thank a number of my friends that are here today from all over the Bay Area visiting and supporting me. They're missing the first half of the 49er game for this, so I really appreciate that. They're here in the front row. Say hi to them after. They don't bite, except maybe Tyler. He lives in Berkeley, so I don't know about that. About this summer, like Kim said, I spent 6 weeks in China on a mission field. There's our plane right there. I'm a journalist by trade, and we have this style of writing in journalism called the inverted pyramid, which means that you start your story with the most important stats and work your way down. So the most important part of this summer is the fact that while we were there, we saw 25 new brothers and sisters become Christians for the first time, in addition to about 150 more that we shared the gospel with and know that the Holy Spirit is working in them even as we speak. Even this last week, my girlfriend Carly, who's here, got an email from a girl that she befriended and shared with in China that has already accepted Christ since we left. And it's just very exciting and encouraging to hear all these stories, and there's just so many of them. And yeah, it's just incredibly cool. But the trip for me really began about a year ago between my junior and senior year of college. I went to college at UCLA, which is why you haven't seen me for 4 years. I know it was really nice, but sorry, I'm back. And last summer, I sort of developed this conviction that I would want to go on a mission trip after I graduated in the spring. And it's a pretty common thing for students my age to want to go and see the world, you know, after they graduate. It's a pretty common thing. But I'm thankful that God blessed me with the heart to do that with a missional twist. I had this desire to travel, but I also wanted to do it missionally. Carly and some of my other friends had gone to this summer project a couple years ago. She was thinking about going again. A couple of my other friends were talking about going. And it hadn't really crossed my mind just because it was associated with UCLA, and I knew I would be graduated by that point, and I just didn't really think about the option of going with a UCLA-affiliated team. But starting in about December of 2011 and those first few months of 2012, I really sort of developed a heart for that nation just in talking to our team leaders and other people that had gone before and just spending a lot of time in prayer. I really developed a heart for this nation and totally felt like that's where God was pulling me. And being accepted to the team eventually, which happened in about February, was just one of those spiritual highs that I'm sure we've all experienced where you feel really close to God, really clear about where he's calling you. And it was one of those moments for me. Turns out it wasn't that easy. Just a couple weeks after I was accepted to the team, I got a phone call. My best friend, he says, "Hey, I'm getting married in August. You going to be home?" I said, "No." So that was tough. A couple weeks after that, got a phone call from a company I'd applied to do an internship with, sort of like my dream internship. They said, "Hey, you've been accepted to this program. Can you do it this summer? Like, we'd love to have you. Are you going to be available?" I said, "Nope." just a couple of those things back to back really hit me pretty hard. It was tough, just on multiple levels, to have to say no to these pretty awesome things. But one of the verses was one of the passages that Kim read this morning. It was very convicting. It was in the second chapter of Philippians, verses 5-8. Where Paul says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." And just in thinking about the choice to go to the mission field this summer, and contrasting that with doing this internship, it just sort of put things in perspective that what I would have done this summer here would have been a glorification of my own skills, my own interests, and my own pursuits, and not necessarily the Lord's. Our team did a lot of fasting leading up to the project just to prepare our hearts and be disciplined, and I sort of came to see the entire summer as a sort of fast, just in the sense of giving up things that would please me in this world for rewards that would be found in heaven. I'm going to share a few slides. We had a professional photographer on our team. I should offer that disclaimer because some of these pictures are pretty good and I do not want to take credit for them. So here's our plane. Here's our team. One girl from Northwestern, 16 from UCLA, and the poor girl in the middle in the red jacket from USC. We didn't tease her that much. She survived, which is pretty impressive. And just a few things about our setup. We stayed on a university campus and took classes in the language and the culture, and then we performed ministry on two other campuses in the area, just going out and meeting students, getting to know them, and develop friendships with them however we could. And when the timing was right, looking for opportunities to share the gospel with them. There are staff members in the country that provide us with these pamphlets that have the gospel in both Chinese and English that we could use in communicating with the students, who for the most part spoke very good English, but it was very handy to have the good news in the native language as well. Of course, students weren't the only people that we interacted with. We had a few run-ins with locals who were kind of confused by who we were. But this is kind of the look that I get from my mom and her friends when I hang out with them, so it's pretty standard. Chinese love basketball. The picture on the top is a poster they have in their train station of a basketball team, one of their favorite teams, and there's us below trying to do our best impersonation. But I have this picture up here because it is one of the coolest experiences about being there was being able to use things that we do here for fun as tools for ministry. And I know a lot of the guys, especially, our favorite thing to do in America is go play pickup basketball. And so in China, we said, hey, let's go play pickup basketball. And that was the greatest tool we had for meeting guys, getting to know guys. They wanted to hang out with us. We wanted to hang out with them. And we just had a lot of experiences of being able to relate to guys on that level and then being able to, you know, develop conversations that would lead to the gospel. So just a really cool blessing that the Lord provided us there was their love for sports because, you know, it was really, really stretching my boundaries to just want to play basketball every day. So that was really cool just to see God working and providing those avenues for meeting students. Here's a couple of students that I personally saw accept Christ while we were there. For security reasons, we don't have their eyes showing. On the left is Bobby. On the right is Luis, very authentic Chinese names. And other than the fact that pink is a very common color worn by Chinese guys, this is just really cool to see because these are guys that we poured into all summer and at various points throughout the summer accepted Christ. And it was great because we could then follow up with them and get into reading the Word with them, which is just really cool. Luis on the right, particularly cool story. That's my buddy Jared on the left who's here today. We met up with Luis multiple times. Really, really nice guy. Just met him on campus randomly one day. And we ended up sharing the gospel with him on, I think it was like a Thursday afternoon. And then that weekend, we were going out of town on a retreat to a different city. So Jared and I are sharing the gospel with him, and he says, this is great. This is sounding really good. Do you guys want to go to church with me this weekend? And we're like, oh, great. Like, the one weekend we're out of town, I'm like, this kid's asking us if we would go to church with him. And we're like, no, like, we're going to be gone this weekend. Can we, like, reconnect with you next week and, like, see where you're at? And he's like, oh, yeah, that'd be great. So we go our separate ways, and then we call him when we get back from the retreat on that next Monday. And Jared and I have no idea what's happened with this guy, you know, what's happening in his heart. So we meet up with him again, and we say, Luis, you know, what did you do this weekend? And he says, I didn't really do anything. And we're like, oh, okay. And then he says, oh, yeah, no, I did go to church, and I accepted Jesus. And we're like, oh, cool, yeah. So that was just like a mind-blowing thing. Like, obviously, the Holy Spirit was doing work in him from the get-go. And he went to church on his own, talked to the pastor, and, like, accepted Christ on his own that Sunday. And it was an awesome blessing because we got to meet up with him multiple times throughout the rest of the summer, just investing in him and building a spiritual foundation in him, which was really, really neat. Towards the end of our time there, in fact, it was the night that Jared and I said goodbye to him. He had his computer with him, and he was showing us this social media website. It's kind of like Twitter, but that the Chinese students use. And he goes to his homepage on this social media site, and like his most recent tweet or status update or whatever the equivalent would be here is a Bible verse out of John. And Jared and I said, we're like, Luis, can you like show us? He's like, oh yeah, like, this is my favorite passage out of John that we had just told him to read like a week before. And he was already like so inspired by it that he was tweeting it to all his friends. It was just the neatest thing and just a cool example of just God using spiritual multiplication already in this kid's heart. Another cool story, I don't have a picture of this guy, but I wish I did because he's really neat. On our campus that we were doing ministry on, there's like a little park area where a lot of students would read And a lot of them on our campus were English majors or other foreign language majors because it was a foreign studies university that they used to prepare for being diplomats or going overseas to work. So there are a lot of English speakers, which was cool. And a lot of the students use this little park area to practice their English and to read English books. So it's a good way of meeting them, saying, hey, I heard you're speaking English. Like, you want to practice with me? You know, whatever. So I'm walking through this park one day, and I see this guy reading Pinocchio. I'm like, oh, I've read Pinocchio. I've seen the Disney movie. Like, this would be a great, great chance for, you know, building a friendship with this guy. So I go up to him. I introduce myself, say hi. I look down at the novel, and it's in Italian, not English. I was like, all right. It's funny because I took 3/4 of Italian at UCLA last year. My roommate Lee is here, took it with me, and he can tell you how bad I was. So this was not a good thing that this book was in Italian and not English. And then I'd actually gone to Italy in March for a couple weeks as part of like a little graduation trip. So I was pretty familiar with Italy and with Italian. And this kid, Tony, was an Italian major with the intent of studying abroad in Italy and maybe working there full-time someday. So he spoke really good Italian and understood Italian and didn't really communicate well in English. And so I was like, oh, great. Thanks, God. Talked with him a little bit. I was able to say, hey, like, I went to Italy. I had some pictures on my iPhone of the trip, and I was able to show him, and he was really excited about all that and just really into sort of the cathedral pictures I had. And, like, he's like, oh, I, like, love, like, the churches. I was like, yes, transition. And so that was a blessing. But then he had to go, and he had to go and, like, meet a friend or something. And this was only after about 10, 15 minutes of talking to him. And so he says, oh, can we meet again in a couple of days so I can hear more about your trip? And I said, absolutely. So he left, and I had kind of a free afternoon the next day. So I spent most of the afternoon that next day translating as much as I could of the gospel from English to Italian with the intent of sharing with this guy in this weird, like, Chinese-English-Italian hybrid language. Sure enough, meet up with him again the next day, showing him more pictures of my trip, and just kind of conversing in that made-up language. And it's going really well. I ended up getting into the gospel with him, and he's just eating it up. He's loving it. I can just, like, see it in his eyes. Like, he's finding so much joy in this good news. And so I'm sharing some verses from Romans and from other books in the New Testament, just a lot of Paul's letters that I was sharing in Italian. And he interrupts me at one point. He says, like, who wrote all this? Like, who wrote these letters? And I was like, oh, well, it's this guy, Paul, or Paolo, really great guy. And, you know, I was telling him a little bit about Paul. And then I had on my phone a picture of the prison in Rome where Paul was held when he was writing some of his epistles, and Lee and I had seen that when we were there just a few months prior. And so I brought up this picture on my phone, and I said to Tony, which is his name was Tony, I said, Tony, like, remember that guy Paul? Well, like, this is where he was held in Rome. This is the prison that he was held in Rome for writing all this. And he looks at the picture, and he says, he was in prison? I was like, yeah, this is a prison. And he says, he was in prison for writing this, pointing at the Bible. And I said, yeah, like, it's intense. Like, it's a major commitment, and you face a lot of persecution for it sometimes. And so he went to jail for it. So Tony's kind of thinking about that for a second. And finally he says something to me in Chinese, and I was like, I do not understand that, Tony. I'm sorry. And so he says it in Italian, and I said, I don't understand that, Tony. I'm sorry. And so he thinks harder, and he's like, I can tell he's trying to find the words in English. And finally, he looks at me, and he says, worth it. That was what he said. He said, worth it. And I was like, yes, worth it. And that was his reaction to the persecution and the imprisonment that Paul faced, was that it was all worth it. And that was just one of the neatest experiences. Some of my teammates that were there can attest, I was pretty emotional afterwards. And it was just really cool because he accepted Christ that night, had to leave the next day to go to Italy for the year. He's studying abroad over there. But just seeing it in his eyes, you could just tell the Holy Spirit was doing great things in him. And I'm so excited to hear his stories. And I know he's going to email me at some point with stories of how Christ continues to work in his life. So those are just a couple of the stories that we had. And there's so many more. Like I said, we had 25 students accept Christ for the first time, which is awesome. And I know all our team members have incredible stories like that of just seeing the Holy Spirit move. So that was really, really neat. There's us leaving. That's a really cool picture. But one of my favorite writers is a guy named C.S. Lewis. I'm sure most of you have heard of him. He wrote a very famous seven-book series. It's about a bunch of British kids in a magical land, Harry Potter, something like that. One of my favorite Lewis quotes is this. He says, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." And just that phrase was really impactful for me this summer. For one, in the process of deciding to go and just like sacrificing a lot, that passage is very convicting, you know, hearing that Christianity, this is of infinite importance. It cannot be moderately important. If this is the most important thing to you, what are you going to do with it? And while we were in China, we talked a lot about the idea of us not being mortals. Human beings are immortal souls. And every conversation, every interaction we have with another individual can either push them towards heaven or not. And that's a big deal. That's infinite importance, as Lewis was saying. There's a famous Scottish pastor, Oswald Chambers. He lived around the turn of the 20th century. Wrote a really famous daily devotional book called My Utmost for His Highest, which I've been going through. And it turns out that the daily devotional for this morning, September 23rd, was perfectly applicable to this message. That was like another thank you, God moment for me. Chambers says this as part of his devotional today. Quote, "In our Lord's life, Jerusalem was the place where he reached the climax of his Father's will upon the cross. And unless we go with Jesus there, we will have no companionship with him. Nothing ever discouraged our Lord on his way to Jerusalem. He never hurried through certain villages where he was persecuted or lingered in others where he was blessed. Neither gratitude nor ingratitude turned our Lord one hair's breadth away from his purpose to go up to Jerusalem." And the reason that passage resonates so much with the story of this summer is that one of the coolest and most inspiring and encouraging things about being in China is, like I said, witnessing the spiritual multiplication that's going on there and is increasing a thousandfold every day. The church there has launched a movement that's called the Back to Jerusalem Movement. Some of you may have heard of it, but their goal is to send missionaries from China west across the Middle East back to Jerusalem, going through the most gospel-deprived, gospel-opposed regions in the world and making sure that everyone's reached with Christ's good news. And these are regions that American missionaries would probably have no hope of ever getting access to just because of the anti-Western feelings there. And for me, that was one of the coolest things about being in China, was knowing that we're not only, you know, pouring into these students now, but thinking about how they will be contributing to this movement in the future and contributing to the church there that grows every day despite the persecution that they face. Evangelism is illegal in China. It's very dangerous for Chinese students to become Christian and to be openly practicing. But to just know that the church is multiplying anyway is incredibly inspiring. And it's just cool to know that a lot of these students will be going back to Jerusalem with the gospel. And Oswald Chambers wrote that book 80 years ago, and I just imagine if he could see China now, how awesome he would think that is. Philippians 1, verses 27 through 30, which Kim read, say, "Let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." The reason this is such an encouraging, convicting passage for the future of this students, the future of the students that we met, and for the future of the church in that country as a whole, just the persecution that they faced there is pretty nuts. We had to be very, very careful with who we shared with, when we shared, where we shared, how loud we shared, just because Christianity there is so much opposed by the ruling party. But you heard it from Tony. It's worth it. It's a blessing for them to be able to suffer for Christ's name, knowing that his name is greater than any country, any wall, any political party. And just one of the neatest things about seeing these students come to know Christ for the first time is that they know, a lot of them, that it's hard for them. Like, they say that, "Oh, I know this is hard. Like, nobody believes. Like, in China, we believe this, not this." And so they recognize how difficult of a decision it is and do it anyway. And that's inspiring for us as Americans who live in a country that, for the most part, is accepting of Christianity, even if a lot of people don't like it. You're not getting persecuted and thrown in jail for it like you are in China. And spending the summer telling students about Christ for the first time just has an awesome effect on us coming back home and learning how to readjust and live missionally back in California. One of our messages to the students that we had to talk about most was that the God in America is not just contained to America. He's the God of the universe. He reigns just as much in China as he does in the West. Because, like I said, a lot of them would hear the gospel and say, "Oh, yeah, that's the American religion. Like, we don't have that in China." And our message was, no, like, this is the God that reigns over the entire world. And we saw such amazing examples of that when these students came to accept Christ and when the Holy Spirit moved through them. And it was just an incredible confirmation to us that what the words we were saying were true, that this God does do work in China just like he does in America. And in fact, sometimes it's easier to see God in China than it is in America. And that's inspiring to me, just in terms of mobilizing myself and mobilizing others to share the gospel in America, that maybe we should be saying that the same God that reigns in China also reigns in America, and maybe that should be our encouragement. In chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Paul writes that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I love that passage because he uses the words "every tongue," which to me can mean every individual. Everyone has a tongue for the most part. So not only refers to every individual, but also every language. And that's just like a really cool image to me, just having been overseas and seeing the church develop in a non-American, non-English-speaking country to hear the encouragement of this passage that one day every individual and every language will be confessing the same thing. A number of us were able to take the friends that we met there to this church that was recommended to us by the in-country staff members. And so the one funny story is the first week that some of our team members went, they sat in a room bigger than this, and the whole service was broadcast on a screen. There was no live activity on, like, the stage or anything. And we're like, okay, well, you know, as long as we're, like, hearing the word and, like, getting the worship, like, it's cool. It doesn't matter if it's on a screen. Well, it turns out they were just in the overflow room, and the real sanctuary was right next door. And for as many people as were in the overflow room, there were thousands more in the real room. And all the teaching and worship at this church was done in Chinese, which was really cool. Obviously, we didn't understand too much of it other than hello and thank you. But it was We were assured by the bilingual members of our team that all the teaching and all the praise was completely legit and like awesomely gospel-centered. And this was a registered church, but they're teaching things that the state would not allow them to teach, so somebody's pulling strings somewhere to allow that to happen. But it just gives you goosebumps to know that the gospel is being preached in the vernacular there, and that they have a congregation of 10,000. Every week, 10,000 Chinese hear the message at that church, and that's just one of many churches. And that is an incredible testament to what God is doing over there. Also from this morning's Oswald Chambers devotional, he says, quote, "The aim of the missionary is to do God's will, not to be useful, not to win the heathen. He is useful, and he does win the heathen, but that is not his aim. His aim is to do the will of the Lord." And along that same note, John Piper, big-time pastor, theologian, author of Desiring God, he says it way better than I ever could. Piper writes, "Have you ever wondered what it feels like to have a love for the lost? This is a term we use as part of our Christian jargon. Many believers search their hearts in condemnation, looking for the arrival of some feeling of benevolence that will propel them into bold evangelism. It will never happen. It is impossible to love the lost. You can't feel deeply for an abstraction or a concept. You would find it impossible to love deeply an unfamiliar individual portrayed in a photograph, let alone a nation or a race or something as vague as all lost people. Don't wait for a feeling or love in order to share Christ with a stranger. You already love your Heavenly Father, and you know that this stranger is created by Him, but separated from Him. So take those first steps in evangelism because you love God. It is not primarily out of compassion for humanity that we share our faith or pray for the lost. It is, first of all, love for God." And those two passages to me speak beautifully as to what were the ultimate takeaways for me out of this summer. Those being that living missionally isn't something done out of guilt or shame or obligation or duty or self-righteousness. That it's not a competition to see who can find the most new Christians. God's not up in heaven playing like fantasy evangelism, like following all our stats. That missions exist because our love for God becomes so rich and so bountiful that it can't help but overflow. That love that we have for God is the only logical reaction and the only logical reciprocation to the truth that He loved us enough to send His only Son, as Paul said, to humble Himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And it's because of all those things that I learned that sharing the gospel is more than just our call. It's our joy, it's our gift, and it's worth it. Would you pray with me? God, we just thank You for the gospel of Your Son, Jesus Christ, and the fact that He died on the cross for our sins. And we just thank You for the love that You showed us then and the love that You instill in us now, God. And we just thank You for convicting us just to have a heart for the world and to know Christ and to make His name known in all the world, God. And just what an incredible gift and what an incredible joy it is that we are given the opportunity to live missionally here or wherever we may go, God. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Come on up here, Ryan. Didn't he do a wonderful job? Thank you so much for inspiring us this morning. And I think that was challenging for all of us because I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget the treasure that's in me and how hungry people are to know the good news of the gospel. So thank you so much. I asked him to do the benediction, but he deferred to me. Ryan, and if you guys who were on the team would go out with him and stand by the door, everybody is going to want to greet you and thank you for that very inspiring message this morning. Again, thank you so much. Something that we do here at West Valley is we have a confidential prayer after the service. If something struck your heart or you came with a need or a burden this morning, we have Judy and Bob up here, and they would love to pray with you after the service, so don't be shy. Ask for prayer. We all need it, and where two or three are gathered, God is in our midst together. All right. So go out in courage. Have peace. Hold on to that which is good. Return no person evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.